with me once again to Philippians 3. We're continuing a series of messages that we began, I guess, a while ago. And we're on the third of four messages dealing with the thought of leaving the past behind. And the past can be a good thing, amen? It's important to remember the past, because in the past is where we've learned a lot of lessons, where we've seen the hand of God move in our lives, and we should remember those things. But the past is not a place that we should live. In fact, you can't live in the past. Despite what science fiction tells us, it is fiction. Time and tide wait for no man. In fact, another scripture we could use for this series of messages is from Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. If we know Jesus, the Bible tells us God wants us to have life and have it to the full. We should have it. Every bit of God as God has provided for us. Amen. All the knowledge of God in our heart, all the grace of God upon our life, all the love of Jesus within us. And there shouldn't be anything hindering that in our lives. In addition to that, knowing Jesus, we should be free to know and love each other. Amen? And not be separated by the different divisions and things that come between people. Anger, resentment, or even difference. I mentioned that just a few moments ago, but you know, differences can become a place of division, and they shouldn't be. I mean, thank God we're different and we're not the same. I'd love to have a four-course meal, but I like to have different things on my plate that tastes differently because it makes for an exciting meal. And I like to meet different people who are different from me. I can learn from them. I can learn their perspective on Christ and the insights that Christ has given them regarding their relationship with Jesus and on life and how important that is. So we need to be free to love one another and to live together. We need to be free to serve God. We all have a plan and a purpose. It's almost cliche, but it's true. If you know Jesus, God has something for you to do for the kingdom of God. And everyone should realize that and live in that. But the past can hinder you from knowing God, experiencing God, serving God, loving and knowing other people and ministering to other people. God wants us to be set free from the past. Our text once again, Philippians 3:13-14. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let's bow our hearts together. Let's ask God's blessing as we look to the Word of God together this morning. Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you today, and we thank you for giving your life on Calvary for our sins. We thank you that you rose again, and we thank you, God, that you sent the Holy Spirit to be with us and to help us along life's way. We ask now in the holy name of Jesus for the anointing of your Spirit to rest upon us as we look to the Word of God. Send your anointing upon this messenger this morning and upon everyone who is here. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. As we just mentioned a few moments ago, the past is great, but the past can also be a hindrance and keep us from being and living and experiencing the things that God has provided for us freely through Calvary. The three things that we've been looking at or we're talking about in the process of this series of messages are past sins. And we took actually 2 weeks to talk about that. How the past guilt of sins, you know, we've all done things that we've been ashamed of. In fact, let me take it a step further. We've all done things that we've been deeply ashamed of. And when we know Jesus and we accept Christ into our lives, the Bible says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin. And not just the little sins, the little white lies, the little fibs, you know, the little wrong thoughts that we shouldn't have had, the little things that we shouldn't have said, but also the big things, the lying, the cheating, the murder, the adultery, the greed, the envy, the hatred. Every sin that man has ever committed in life, the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is strong enough, more than strong enough, to cleanse and forgive from that sin. And not just wipe it from our record, but wipe the guilt of it from our heart. But because we're human beings, you know, sometimes we struggle with guilt, and that guilt tries to reassert itself upon our lives. But that's when we need to forget, get guilt, and we talked about that. But we also talked about how it's important to forget how to sin. You know, most of us, as far as sinning, have had a lot of practice at it. Amen? Some more than others. And when you've been doing something for a long time, it takes a while and it takes a lot of effort to break free from that habit of sin. But bless God, with God, all things are possible. Amen? And so with Christ, we can forget to sin and learn the new way that Christ has provided for us to live. But that's not the only way that the past hinders our future. In fact, we looked at two images. Let me remind you of those images this morning that help us to understand how the past can affect our present. The first is that of a ghost or a specter. And once again, I don't believe in ghosts. I do believe in the supernatural, and I know there's a lot of supernatural activity that's in the world today. There's the activity above all of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Bible does tell us that angels are ministering spirits and they are here. But there are also demon spirits that are present. In fact, I was just talking to someone not too recently, not to get off on a rabbit trail. They were talking about a medium and how this medium was speaking into their lives. And let me tell you, they're not talking to some good spirit, and they're not, the things that they're seeing are not ghosts and spirits of people who have gone by. It's evil, it's the occult, it's from the demonic realm, and it's not anything that anyone should have anything to do with. But Satan, as to quote Hal Lindsey, is alive and well and living on planet Earth today and is really doing many things. But the past can act like a ghost or a specter, if you would. And when you think of a ghost, what does a ghost do? You know, typically in old stories that you read, a ghost haunts. You know, in the quietness of a home, you know, the ghost is someone who walks through the home and haunts and affects those who are living there. And such is the past. It can dog you everywhere you go. As you lie in bed at night, you can think about the past and all the ugliness of the past. It can affect you. When you try to reach out and do something, all of a sudden the past can whisper in your ear, you're not good enough. Or you're going to expose yourself to pain, which is what we're going to be talking about in just a few minutes. The past can haunt you, can follow you everywhere you go, invade your mind, keep you from being the person that Christ has ordained for you. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how the past also enslaves. It can keep you in fear and doubt, uncertainty in your life. Think living in the past and all the garbage that's in the past, thinking your life is like that. It's not like that anymore. In fact, if you know Jesus, the Bible says all things become new. You're a new creation. The old is past, it's gone. So we need to forget about it. As I mentioned before, we've talked about past sin, but we also need to talk about two other things, past pain and past failures. And today we're going to focus on past pain and how we need to forget the pain of the past, because no one has been insulated, completely insulated from pain. Everyone in their life at some point, and actually more aptly said, at many points in their lives, experience pain. Now, some experience more pain than others. I don't understand why. All I know is that God has a purpose, and everything that happens in every individual's life is not without purpose, even pain. And let me tell you, the purpose, generally speaking, that the Bible says as far as anything that happens in the life of a person is to bring about good. All things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to their purposes. And some people have to go through great pain in order to, number one, find God, because unless they go through that great pain, they will not. Any parent knows there are some children you can tell at one time do this, they won't do it anymore. And there's some who require to go through some sorrow and woe before they actually learn. But even experiencing more of God and the depth of God's love and seeing the power of His deliverance, sometimes we have to go through great pain. And there are basically two kinds of people, too. There are people who have a high tolerance of pain, that pain doesn't bother them. You know, they could be out playing ball and suffer a compound fracture. And, you know, a compound fracture is one where forgive me for being graphic this morning, where the bone actually pierces the skin. And, you know, the coach will say, how you feel? Oh, just put a little tape on it. I want to go back out again. He looks pain. You know, pain doesn't bother him. And then you have on the other side of the spectrum, you know, I won't mention any names, but little children. And, you know, some children, they'll say, you know, they'll cry and they'll say, "Mom, I've got a cut." And they'll come to their mother and they'll say, "Show it to me." And they'll have to say, "Wait a minute, I have to squeeze my finger a little bit more to get some blood to come out of it." You know, the littlest thing causes them pain. But pain is awful. There's a reason for pain. Things are painful so that we'll stay away from those things and live in a place of safety. But pain can haunt us, and pain can enslave us, and pain is something that Jesus Christ has set us free from. And so let's take some time and let's talk about that this morning. Bless God. First thing I'd like to talk about, number one, we need to understand that life is filled with many sorrows. That doesn't mean that there is to be no joy in life. Thank God, especially if you know Jesus, there should be tons of joy. Amen? I mean, life itself has joy. And care is expecting. What joy now is there in the Franklin family once again, and now there's going to be a new little baby. And it'll be even more joyful when that little baby is born. I don't know if it'll be a girl or a boy. I don't know what they're looking for. Or the joy of getting married. You know, what a great day that is. Or finding a new job. Or something else wonderful or special happening. You know, those things are happy. Knowing Jesus, being forgiven of your sins, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being healed in your body, God renewing a marriage or a family. There is so much to be thankful and happy about. Sometimes we lose sight of those things. Sometimes that's the reason why we struggle with pain. We forget about the joy. Many joys in life. But let's not kid ourselves. And anyone who stands up and says, "When you know Jesus, there are no sorrows," is a liar, because they're speaking contrary to the Word of God. In fact, as we read Scripture, even the most spiritual people experience pain in their lives. And as we live for Jesus, it is inherent that we will go through times of pain and sorrow. David writes in Psalm chapter 38, verse 17, "My pain is ever with me." David, an anointed man of God, a mighty warrior. I think he was one of those guys who could be beaten, bruised, and bloody, and he'd keep fighting. There was no quit in him. Mightily anointed of God. When he played his harp and sang songs unto the Lord, the demons would flee. Great insight on who Jesus was, wrote many wonderful songs. He was also a man of pain. The Apostle Paul, one of the most powerful, spiritually powerful men in the Bible, at least as far as we grade spiritual power, spirituality or spiritual power, writes in or says in Romans chapter 9, verse 2, and this is in regards to his people, the Jews, "I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart." Yes, there's joy in knowing and loving and serving Jesus, but there's also pain in living this life. And knowing Jesus will not insulate you from that pain. But you need to, number one, understand it's there, and number two, not live in that pain, but forget it and press on in Jesus Christ. And the types of pain that we experience is all types. Of course, there's physical pain, sickness, injury. You know, I wish it wasn't the case, and it doesn't happen, but even though we come to Christ, we're still human beings. Our bodies are getting older. They get sick. Some get diseases. And let me tell you, anyone who gets a terrible disease, it's not because they have sin in their lives. Oh, I know there's some instances where people abuse their body and it's a consequence of their sins. But sometimes it just happens because we're human beings and it's part of life. Part of our fallen nature. But there are other things that are as painful, if not more painful, that we go through in our lives. The losing of someone through death or divorce, or some relationships are fractured, the people are still living, but we can't speak with them anymore because of disagreements. For those, and I think this especially speaks to men, I don't mean to be sexist this morning, but I know what makes up a man, but for someone to lose their job, it can affect their mind and it can affect their spirit. There's so many trials and difficulties, great pain that we can go through. It can affect our bodies and it can affect our minds, and it also can affect our spirits. You know, we talk about emotional pain, we talk about physical pain, and we're well acquainted with those things. But there's also spiritual pain. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13 says, "By the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." There's more than just having physical pain in your body and emotional pain in your heart. There's also that spiritual pain of having that broken or wounded spirit where you lose the will or the passion to live. It can happen. And when you live in the past, it's something that will hinder you from experiencing the blessings of God in the present. And so the past needs to be overcome. Because let me tell you this morning, no matter what pain you endure, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual, there is one antidote, there's one cure, and that's Jesus Christ, the power of His blood and the power of His Holy Spirit. And just as He forgave you of your sin when you came to Him by faith and repented of your sin, bless God, there's healing in your mind and your spirit from pain. There's so many causes of pain. Pain, as I mentioned before, is part of life, but sometimes pain is self-inflicted. But God is able to deliver them from them all. And there's one more aspect of pain that we need to understand, and it's inherent to knowing Jesus, that if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will suffer for the gospel, and there's no getting around it. There are many, let me tell you, and the blessings far and away exceed the sorrows of knowing Jesus, but there are sorrows of knowing Jesus. We talked about them a few weeks ago, in leaving friends and family at times for the cause of Christ. The giving up of lands and gold to serve Jesus. You can't serve God and mammon, and I'm not saying you can't have a nice job and a nice home, but that can't be your God if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And of course, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and truly live for Him with all of your heart, which is how God has called us to live. Jesus said, the world will persecute you, the world will hate you as it hated me. And although God loves the world, and we in turn are to love the world, there's no easy way to put it. The world, if you know Jesus, hates you, and you will have a difficult time fitting in. And the world will cause you pain. Now, Jesus said, fear not, for I've overcome the world. Those are painful things that we experience, but overcome through Christ. Christ gets us through, and Christ doesn't just get us through, He gets us through victoriously. No new scripture here, but a powerful scripture. Isaiah 53, verse 3. Surely He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. What did Jesus die for? We know who He died for when He died on Calvary. He died for you and me and all mankind. But what did Jesus die for? Well, number one, He died for our sin, that being the most important. But according to this verse, He died for all of our sorrow and all of our pain. There is a balm in Gilead, a healing ointment to the wounds that we encounter in life. And that's Jesus. The oil of joy, of gladness instead of a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. Forgive me for mangling that scripture this morning. But bless God. You know, life, if you know Jesus, there's something, someone supernatural who exalts us above the pain and the sorrow of the events of life. Whether they just be the things that happen in life, whether they be the things that we bring upon ourselves, or whether they be things that we experience for the gospel's sake. But whether or not we live in the healing balm of Christ regarding the wounds and the pain that we experience in life is up to us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, I believe. Verse 7, excuse me. The Bible says, cast all your anxiety or cares on Him because He cares for you. How did you get saved? Or how did you come to Jesus Christ? Were you all of a sudden walking along and all of a sudden, boom, God hit you and you became a Christian? Or were you just sitting in church one day and boom, all of a sudden you were forgiven in your life? You made no conscious choice. It just happened. Or did you make the decision in your life? You were tired of the way you were living. You were tired of the way that you were feeling. You were tired of thinking that your life had no hope and no future in this present life and the life that is to come. And so you accepted Christ by faith in your life. You made that decision to accept His love into your life. Well, what this verse is saying is the same thing. Living in the joy of the Lord. And just like receiving from sin requires us to make that conscious decision, so receiving the healing and the comfort of God in our lives regarding past pain requires us to make that decision. Yes, I want this in my life. And so I need to give Jesus the pain and sorrows that I'm enduring. Because if we don't, the effects are devastating. The effects of living in pain, if we choose to live in the past and not in the presence of God's glory and deliverance, is number one, despair. A despondent person. How can we describe despair? I think the best way, at least the way that's coming to mind this morning as far as describing despair is, or a person who is trapped or haunted or enslaved by despair is a person who lives without hope. A hopeless person. See a lot of that in life today, unfortunately. Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Life is no longer worth living. I don't want to live anymore. Living in pain can move you to that place. And you might not be to the point where, forgive me for being graphic, where you would put a gun to your head or slit your wrists. But your attitude towards the things of life may show that you're hopeless and full of despair. You just don't care anymore. You don't care at your job. You don't care with your family. You don't even care in your personal appearance. Despair, a terrible thing. It happens when we, instead of living in the blessing of the presence, we live in the pain of the past. Secondly, fear. You know, in some ways, some people never get beyond their old pain. And they keep reliving and rehashing a horrible event that they've gone through instead of living in the presence and the glory of God, because God has come to heal us of past pain. But they just want to go back to that dark room again where someone did something to them. Or when they lost someone and they just want to keep living in that. Live in Jesus. I don't want to run ahead. That, you know, those points are coming later. But you know what I'm saying? But then there are some people that have experienced healing from that, but they're afraid because they've been hurt before and they don't want to be hurt again. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And you know, that can be a good thing, but you can be overly cautious to the point where you're not living anymore. Your life is ruled or controlled by pain. And so you live life overly cautious. You don't choose, you've been hurt by a relationship, so you don't want to make any more relationships. I'm never going to have a friend again. Sounds silly, but it happens. I've heard many people say that. I can't extend myself anymore because I know it will break me physically or break me emotionally or some other way. And so you live trapped by your fears because you're living in the past. And one additional thing I don't have on our PowerPoint this morning, but the pain of the past, one of the most devastating things that it can do is bring hardness to the heart of the believer. When you think of the heart of Jesus, what do you think of? Something soft, something warm, something alive, something beating, something that is open, something that not only sees what is going on around, but is empathetic and compassionate towards those needs. And that's what God has called us to do. But when you live in pain, when you're living in pain, you're kind of insulated or ignorant, I think is a better term, of the pain that is going on around you. And are we not to be ambassadors? I believe that's what... And thank you for filling in so admirably for me last week. I was going to do that at the beginning of the sermon. Are we not ambassadors for Christ? But if we're living in pain, we can't be because we're just so consumed upon our own sorrows and our own issues. So how... We talked about how we forget sin. How do we then forget pain? Well, the obvious is we do the things that we should be doing. I know in my illness, and I thank God for where God has brought me, but I still have some effects from, you know, going through chemotherapy and things. And so I need to stay on top of things, and if I don't, I'm going to suffer the consequences. Let me tell you, as far as your spiritual life and as far as overcoming pain, because you'll never completely divorce yourself from the pain of the past. It will always be there. And just like sin, it will look for an opportunity to raise its ugly head and reassert itself upon your life. And the best way to keep sin down, but also pain down in your life and to live in the joy and the grace that God has for us in the present is to keep on top of it. Obvious things, things that we know we should do them. We should pray. And let me tell you, when you pray, pray in English, but pray in the Spirit. Bless God. He who prays in an unknown tongue edifies or builds up himself. And so it's important. I strongly urge and encourage everyone to exercise the gift of tongues in their prayer life every day as God moves upon you. And we need to praise God. Pray that God would just, as we lift up the name of Jesus, something wonderful happens. We create an atmosphere and an environment where the Spirit of God desires to be. And where the Spirit of God is, we can also refer to the Spirit of God as the Spirit of love. And the Bible says, love casts out what? All fear. Oh, very good. Amen. So where the Spirit is and where we're praising Jesus, fear, doubt, and the pain of the past has no reason. Let me tell you, if you're constantly bemoaning the wounds of the past, you'll never experience victory. Read your Bible. Seek help from other believers. Pray with them. Let me tell you, there, as Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. And even in a congregation our size, there is someone who has gone through exactly what you have gone through. And let me tell you, I am sure they would be more than happy. They'd probably be tickled to death to pour into your life and share with you some wonderful things that God has done. But let me share with you a couple of other things as far as overcoming the pain of the past. Number one, number two, in addition to the obvious things, the things that we should be doing, staying on top of our faith. Number two, don't sweat the small stuff. Solomon said, little foxes spoil the vines. It's amazing, as a pastor, the things that I've heard people come to me that they are still pining and moaning over. And I have to be a pastor and loving and compassionate, but sometimes I just want to take them and shake them. I wish it was a guy, it was Joe. Get over it, man! There's so much more in life to worry about. Why are you worrying about that thing? It's like the little child with a little scrape. You know, I need a Band-Aid. For what? You got a little red mark on your finger. We get so consumed with small hurts. Someone didn't say hi to us. Someone snubbed me. Big deal. So what? Get over it. There's more important things. And let me tell you, there's one major reason why people sweat the small stuff in regards to pain. And I'm not saying, you know, there's some deep wounds in relationships, and I'm not saying that at all. But let me tell you, I've heard some things as a pastor which people really need to get serious and get over because they're not worth the time or the effort. And the reason they're focusing on these little things is their mind's not on the big picture. Their minds are not on kingdom things. Let me tell you, God has a big plan, not just for your life, for the world. And for you to get wrapped up in, and he said this to me, and she did this to me, and all this little stuff. Well, you're playing right into the enemy's hands. You're focusing on those little painful things. And it's keeping you from living in the joy of the present. Focus on the big things. On knowing Jesus. And let me tell you, half the time, if someone's short with you, I used to get all weirded out by people. Oh, you know, I wonder if they're mad at me. They're just going through. They're having a bad day, just like you do. Don't worry about it. Amen. Pray for them and move on. Believe God for greater things. Thirdly, don't live in the basement. I love my basement. I think I love it. It puts all the stuff that I don't want to deal with. And it's great, but it's kind of dark. It doesn't smell as, you know, that great. And there's a lot of clutter around. And I go down, and I don't live down in the basement. And some people do. But I just go down there to get what I need, and I go back and I live my life. I spend my time upstairs and outside where I should be. We have a choice regarding the past. The past is kind of like the basement. You know, it's got a lot of stuff. Sometimes we need those things. I alluded to that earlier in the message. Sometimes we need to go back and remember some of the mistakes that we made. Remember the pain and how God brought us through. We get what we need. We take the good things out. In fact, sometimes we need to clean our basement and get rid of the rubbish. But we don't live down there. We don't stay down there. If I invite you over to my home, I'm not going to take you down to the basement, especially my basement. You'll never come again. Don't live down there. Don't allow your mind to continue to dwell on the pain of the past and how these terrible things happen. Move forward to the future. Live in the light. Don't believe the lies of the past. Amen? That's guard. Even, listen, we've got a cat. She reminds me every day that there's a basement because she spends part of the time down there. And let me tell you, you'll have calls from your basement. Just leave them there. There are times we have to leave our cat down. We don't trust her upstairs half the time. So, number four. Important to get right back up into the saddle. You know, when we're hurt, when we're wounded, what's the first thing we want to do? We want to protect ourselves. And sometimes it's important that we do rest and heal up, but only till we get strong again. And when we're wounded in mind and in spirit, yes, you know, it's okay to separate for a time so that we can be refreshed in God. Get our perspective renewed. Get our heart renewed. Get our mind back where it should be. But then once we're back where we should be, it's time to get back in the saddle once again. Some people, they get wounded, they just want to stay in that little ball of protection. I don't want to put myself out anymore. I don't want to resume standing up for Christ. I don't want to resume relationships and friendships. I don't want to take on additional responsibilities. I just want to stay here where it's safe, where I won't get hurt again. Get back out there. And let me tell you, not only do you need to get back out there, God wants you to get back out there, and He will make opportunities for you. He'll almost drag you out there. And I've experienced this in my own life. There have been times where I've just had a bad time or a bad day or a bad year. And, you know, I've gone out of my house and I, you know, God, I just hope nothing happens today. I hope no one calls. If I go to the store, I just want to run and get what I want and just go home. I don't want to see anyone. I don't want to do anything, you know. And sometimes God is gracious. He's always gracious. But there are other times where, boom, when I'm feeling at my worst, there it is, right in front of me, an opportunity for me to minister the grace of God. And not just an opportunity, a mandate. Because, you know, sometimes opportunities are like fruit. If you wait too long, the opportunity passes and it's not no longer there. And so you have to, but you know what? As much as I dreaded that, when those times happened, and sometimes it would happen as I'd go in, you know, for my treatments, I didn't want to be there. It's tired, you know, going on a Monday, very tired and whatnot. And, you know, and then those opportunities would come and I would be obedient. Let me tell you, those were great times of release where God set me free. So what am I saying? When those opportunities, because God is for you and God wants you to live free from the past, embrace those opportunities and allow the Holy Spirit not only to use you, but to set you free. I'd like to ask our musicians to come this morning.